love you guys. Appreciate you. Just thank you for all that you guys have done. It's been amazing to have you here. And my sermon tonight is, I mean, I think this is something that will bless all of you here, but I've prayed about it and crafted it specifically for our graduates. I hope that's okay. But I think it'll apply to all of us. But it's something that I think will hopefully bring some encouragement to you. You know, because I want you to realize that for you that have been here for a while and that you're graduating, you have really, you've created a legacy for our other students that are following you. And so our new students, those that are kind of following you and your example, that's a legacy that you're leaving. And so tonight I've got a message that I want to share with you. And it's called Legacy. But I do think it'll be for you that are returning students as well. Because I pray that this will, as I said, not only bless our graduates, but encourage you that are returning for the fall to dream big of what God wants to do. Because I do believe we're on the cusp of something awesome here at U of M. I believe we're at the beginning of a great move of God, and I am super pumped. I mean, I'm excited for what the Lord is doing. And that's kind of what, that's the introduction to my message. Now, we're going to start my message with a verse that I hope our core leaders and our D group students know. Because we're going to look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Anybody heard of that before? Can anybody recite 2 Timothy 2:2? Just shout it out. Who knows? Any D group students? You got it? 2 Timothy 2:2? No cheating. Oh, it's right. Hey, come on. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The reason why this is so foundational to our core groups is because it demonstrates the transgenerational nature of discipleship. In this passage, as you guys have heard, there are 4 generations, right? So you have Paul writing to Timothy, and he discipled Timothy. He's now instructing Timothy to find these faithful men and to teach them. That's the 3rd generation. And then those faithful men will be able to teach others also. Now, of course, when he says entrust them to faithful men, that applies to the ladies as well. Amen, ladies. And discipleship is by its nature transgenerational. And you graduates, you stand in the middle of a chain, right? See, you guys that have been here, you have benefited from your spiritual ancestors in Ann Arbor, those that have prayed and labored before you. Now you came, and then you prayed and labored, and you're standing as a link in the chain for the new students that are up and coming. And you're now laying the groundwork for a legacy that they will walk in as well after you. And God has done a powerful work in Ann Arbor over the years. Now, when you think of Ann Arbor, and I find this so interesting, but it is just so God. Typically, when I tell people, you know, when I travel around the country and I talk to people, what do you do? I say, well, I'm a missionary, you know, I'm a campus missionary. Where at? University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. I can't tell you how many times they go, God bless you. Oh, man, they're all liberals there. I mean, I've heard this so many times. Oh, my gosh, they're so godless. Good luck with that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you say Ann Arbor, they're like, oh, man, I'd never go there. But you know the crazy thing is God specializes in places like this, places that seem the darkest and seem the least likely for God to move is where God very often moves most mightily. And we have seen things happen throughout the past here in Ann Arbor that I just want to share some stories with you to let you all of us here know and our graduates to know as well. That you're a part of a legacy. Now, you know, this we're going to go back a little while. We're going to go back. This is even before my time. But God poured out his Holy Spirit in Ann Arbor in the 1970s and 1980s in such a profound way. There was a movement that went cross-denomination. And we saw literally tens of thousands of people in Ann Arbor swept up into the Holy Spirit, converted, brought to Jesus Christ. This was a Spirit-empowered witness. Many people were saved. Many were filled with the Holy Spirit. Catholic Protestants working together to love one another and evangelize Ann Arbor. It became known as the Word of God Community. And you can research the Word of God Community. It was one of the most massive moves of God that we've seen worldwide. It was so effective that it went actually all the way to the Vatican. The Pope met with Ann Arbor people to hear what was happening. I mean, this was like a move of God. Like I said, cross-denomination. Chris and Julie, their neighborhood had many families that moved into that neighborhood for the sole purpose of living out the gospel and being a light for Jesus Christ in Ann Arbor. Now, I'm telling you, it is just amazing what God did. Not only was that, but, and I was going to tell that we're getting surprised by Akima here. I know, and Tammy didn't know. I asked Akima to surprise Tammy, so I did not tell Tammy that Akima was here. Oh, I told you she was going to kiss you. I told Akima, that's what I said Tuesday. Tammy's going to see you, she's going to cry, and she's going to kiss you. Was that right? Yeah, I was right. Listen, but guys, again, I just want you to understand the legacy you're part of. This move of the Holy Spirit impacted thousands of people. One man in particular, I wanted to tell his story today. I wasn't even thinking that his relatives were going to be here. So Tyler is here with his mom and dad. Yeah, welcome. So Tyler's father, his father's uncle is named Bill McCartney. Bill McCartney was a coach with the University of Michigan football team. He got radically touched by Jesus Christ in Ann Arbor. God got a hold of him. Athletes in Action, I believe, was a part of it we were talking about. And again, this was right in this time where there was a huge, profound move of God. Legacy, this is what legend says, and I don't know if this is true, but legend has it that Bill used to come in this building, in this church, and used to pray with Pastor Ed Eliason, who is Pastor Phil Eliason's father, who used to pastor this church in the 80s and the early 90s. And Bill McCartney, as God was working in him, he would say to them, pray for me because I've got a burden for men. Like, I believe that God wants to touch men, and I don't know exactly what it is, but will you pray? And Pastor Ed Eliason was a huge visionary, amazing man of God, worked with all the churches. And so they would pray together for men. Well, I believe it was in the 90s that Bill McCartney went on to coach in, I think it was Colorado, I believe, right? But then later in life, he started a ministry called Promise Keepers. Now, for you younger people here, you probably never heard of this, have you? Are you kidding me? Wow. I mean, that just could give me chills. Just think about that. So Bill McCartney, so Tyler's uncle, was praying. What's that? It's his great uncle. Right? It's your great uncle, correct? Yeah, his great uncle would pray for men. He started Promise Keepers, and it was an organization, it was a ministry saying, men, we've dropped the ball. We need to keep our promises to our wives, our promises to our kids. We need to be true men of God. This was a huge movement. Let me put a picture up. It's not a good quality picture, but it'll just give you a little evidence. I went to this. I was there. Not in this one particular, but I was at the Pontiac Silver Dome when it was still open. 80,000 men crying in repentance. I was in a stadium with 80,000 men on their knees, repenting of their sin, turning from their wickedness, asking God to forgive them for their sins and to be great husbands and fathers. And Julie's dad, I never knew that, was touched by God through that. Ann Arbor, right? It wasn't just that. When Tammy and I were students and graduates, just so you know, like, you have laid the groundwork for what I believe is going to be a powerful move of God. And we've seen things already. This year has been incredible. But I believe your labor has even produced more fruit that is to come. And we have a history of seeing that at U of M. I remember when Tammy and I were students, we had an organization called Christians United that was started by students, student-led, student-organized. They would pray. They would do evangelism. And, man, it was unbelievable. I remember having meetings with 300 students from Chi Alpha, Crew, New Life, and we would worship God and pray together, hundreds and hundreds of people, and then do evangelism together. We had something called the Good Friday Diag Rally. Do you remember that? I've got a newspaper clip for you because people used to read the newspaper. Look at this. You see that big, you can't even make it out. That's a huge wooden cross. We did this for over a decade on Holy Thursday. People from all ministries would set up a big cross on the diag, and they would do an all-night vigil of prayer. And plus, we wanted to protect it because we thought people would, you know, desecrate it, unfortunately, on campus if you put the cross there. So they would, like, guard it. You know, I'm sure some of the guys were like, man, I hope somebody tries something. I'm gonna be a spiritual warrior tonight. You're going to see me be a spiritual warrior. But anyway, that never happened, thank God. But people prayed. They stayed up all night. And we would do noon, Good Friday, on the diag, amplification, music, worship, hundreds of students in the open worshiping God, on their knees, hands raised, praising God. Students, student-led. So I'm just letting you know, there is a legacy of God moving in Ann Arbor, of all places, you know? And graduates, it's not just the past, but this year, I mean, has been such a great year. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for your faithfulness, all of you. We are so proud of you. You know, when we entered into this year of lockdowns and COVID and government restrictions, and it just was like, what are we going to do? What is going to happen? And this has proven to be one of the more fruitful years we've had in a long time. It's just incredible to see what God can't be locked down. You know, God can't be restricted. And it reminds me of what Peter said, you know, like the word of God cannot be, you know, restrained. He said that in Acts, and I don't remember the passage. You Bible scholars probably already know it. But core groups have been incredible this year. Thank you for being a part of them. Thank you for leading them. I know lifelong friendships have been formed. I know that. And, man, that's really what we want to see happen in our core groups. Friday night evangelism, I think, was a significant moment for us. That was a really powerful moment, if you guys remember that. I know many of you went on campus and did evangelism in a way that and you experienced things you've never experienced before. And I think it's just a foretaste of what God wants to do. And that wouldn't have happened without the faithfulness of you graduates all these years, laying the groundwork. We've had a good past. It's been a good year. But I have an illustration I want to show you, and I think Akima's sitting on it. Time to pass the baton, baby. Yeah, you guys know what this is. I was going to go take it and run in the sanctuary holding it and then just pass it off. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to do it. But this is a baton, and if you guys understand track, you would know that that's one of my favorite events is when they do like the 400 relay, and all the guys have to run as fast as they can one time around the track, and they pass the baton. And so it's now time for our graduates to pass the baton. Like, you had your time, and God's done a great work in you and through you, but now it's time to pass the baton. Right? Now we need for the new students, the new leaders, to step up and to take this baton and go. And, you know, as I said, you guys are an essential link, you graduates, because you are linked with the past of everything that's come before, and you're standing now, and you're stretching and straining, and you're passing the baton to the future. I mean, Matt, thank you. Faithfulness all these years. I remember you as a freshman. I mean, he came in and just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and here he is. He still is putting up with us. And now it's time. Matt's going on. It's somebody else needs to step up. You know, who will carry this? Who will carry the baton? Will somebody step up and carry this forward? Let me just share this too, which doesn't seem like it goes with the theme of my message, but I do believe it does. Because I believe God wants to bring a great awakening among your generation. And if this is going to happen, there will be a mark, a hallmark of revival. I've seen it in all moves of God. We saw it here in the 70s and 80s, and we find it in John 17. And so I want to look at John 17, verse 20 and 21. This is the final prayer our Lord prayed before his crucifixion. And if you know this passage, it's a beautiful and long prayer that Christ prays. There's much in it, but I want to just hone in with you on two verses because I believe it ties into what God is going to do here at the University of Michigan this fall, and also where you guys go as grads. This needs to be a mark of true awakening. Did you find it? Is it up there? Oh, no, it's not. All right, good. They're going to make them use their Bible. Oh, do you have it? Put it up. There we go. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Real quick, I will stop there. Somebody taught on this semester. I don't remember. Who was it? Was that? Okay, that was Elliot. Jesus Christ is praying for you. Did you catch that? He's, let's read it again. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So who has believed in Christ through the word of the apostles? That is us. Jesus personally prayed for you. So you better listen up because this is important. He prayed for you. What did he pray? That they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Verse 21, that they may be one even as we are one. If we could back it up again. Verse 21 is what I want to really camp out in. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So I'll ask you a question. How will the world know that the Father sent Jesus Christ? According to this passage. And it's not a trick question, but you just shout it out. What is he saying? How will the world know that Christ was sent by the Father? Through our oneness. So the unity of the body of Christ, our unity together as the church, and I don't mean just H2O, but the church of Christ, our unity communicates to the world that the Father sent the Son. That's heavy. That's powerful, right? Now, if that's true, what does it communicate to the world when the church is broken and divided and in schism? What will the world conclude? The world will conclude that the Father did not send the Son, right? So if we want Ann Arbor, if you want the University of Michigan to know that Jesus is Lord and that the Father sent him, then we need to pray and labor for unity in the body of Christ. And this is especially important in today's division. And again, listen, the division in America is nothing new. If you think this is the first time there's been division, you need to go back to Cain and Abel. Right? This is not like, oh my goodness, we're so divided. What happened? It's called sin. Right? And there is a remedy, and that's called the church. The church, supranational, above all nations, higher than all governmental authority. The church is the unified body of Christ that will bring true revelation of the Son. And so to heal the university, which I know you guys want to see, you guys want to see a revival. Is that right? I know you do. Well, then you need to heal the body. Because if the body is sick and broken and plagued by division, then we can't think that we're going to heal the world. Now, I think that sometimes as Christians, we make a mistake. We by assuming that the problems in the world are due to the world, when some of them are due to the church. So we look at secularization of the world, and we look at how dark things are, and we conclude that, oh, that world is messed up. But we share in some of the blame. I'm not all into blaming the church for everything, okay? I get that. I realize that people have, you know, revised history, and they love to hammer on the church, that everything bad in the world is because of the church. I get that. That's not right, obviously. But at the same time, we do share some blame. Our division and our brokenness is partly responsible for the situation of the world, because there's nothing more attractive than a unified bride. A unified body of Jesus is very attractive to the world, and it reveals to the world that Christ was sent by the Father. So, you know, we look at the world, we look at how dark it is, and we say, God, where are you? Where's Jesus? I heard that he's the great physician. You know, I heard that he can bring healing to our world. Where is he? He's here. He's here. The church is the body of Christ, made up of all the members that are the living, organic, visible expression of Jesus Christ on earth. And as I said, if that body is sick, it's not going to heal. For example, if I'm a surgeon, and, you know, I think of Paul's teaching in the Corinthians. Some of you remember, you know the passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the gifts of the Spirit. You know how Paul says that the body has all different members? Some are the arm, some are the nose, some are the ears, some are the eyes, right? Well, if I'm a physician, and somebody has cancer, and they're trusting me to heal them of their cancer, I'm going to come in, I'm going to cut it out. I walk in the surgery room, and I'm a double amputee. I have no arms. And they look at me, and they go, hey, doctor, you're missing your arms. Yeah, I'm going to cut the cancer out. How are you going to do it? I'm going to put the scalpel in my mouth, and we'll figure it out. Right? Crude analogy. Probably wasn't the best. I didn't expect it to go this far. But I was in the moment. Hey, man, when you're in the moment, you just go with it, right? I'm in the moment. We're going. The point I'm trying to make to you is a body that doesn't have all the members functioning properly can't heal the sick. And when the body of Jesus Christ at U of M in Ann Arbor is in division, the body's not going to be able to bring a revival. People pray for revival and awakening. They want all these things, but they're not even willing to work with other Christians. It's not going to happen. And a mark of genuine revival is always unity in the body. And that's what we saw in Ann Arbor, and that's what I believe we're going to see again. So what can you do? Let me close with this. Graduates, what can you do wherever you go next? Returning students, what can you do here in Ann Arbor? Number one, and I think this is one of the most important things, is to pray for and to pray with your brothers and sisters from other ministries and other churches. There is few things that will bring unity. Remember my story of Uncle Bill. His burden for men was, in some small way, as legend has it, cultivated through prayer here in this church with Pastor Eliason. He didn't go to this church, as far as I know. But he prayed with Pastor Ed, because Pastor Ed had a big vision for the whole city and the whole body of Christ. And I've heard some exciting things about you guys praying with other Christians. Is that right? From other ministries? All right. Let's keep it up. Let's kick up the prayer. Let's pray with other ministries. Let's do ministry together. The second thing you can do is you can intentionally live in community. And you know, when, I mean, Tyler's going to definitely be living in community. It doesn't even take intentionality for him. He's going to be in the bunker. But really, Tyler, I mean, you will want to find a couple godly men to study the word and to pray with, to be with them. And here in Ann Arbor, in U of M, live together. And I'm excited for some of the men and women that are living together next fall. Maybe you want to even expand it the next year, have people from other churches and ministries that would live together. I mean, how powerful is that? Third thing you can do, and this is, you know, these are, the first two are active steps that you can take to create unity. The third is what we need to stop doing. And that is stop backbiting and speaking evil about other parts of the body of Christ. It is understandable that we have theological differences, and I think we need to talk through them. I think we need to work them out. I think we need to even debate them, and that's good. We can argue through those things. But that's different than gossip and backbiting and putting down other parts of Christ's body, right? Does that make sense, the difference? There's ways we can communicate together with the Baptists down the street, the Catholics across the street, the Methodists down the road, and those Presbyterians are really an interesting bunch. Ask Elliot. They take a lot of work. But it's one thing to theologically discourse. It's another thing to backbite and gossip. So we need to stop that. You know, we don't approach other ministries this fall like we're the spiritual, you know, spirit-filled, charismatic. We're going to teach you how to be a real Christian. That really isn't usually received well. Can you imagine? You know what I mean? I'm here to teach you everything. Okay, how about we serve them? It might be a little more well-received, you know what I mean? And maybe as you serve them, they might say, wow, I'm hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit that I see, you know? So you come in an attitude of humility to work with the body, to bless the body. Julie has an amazing opportunity. She's at Hope Clinic, which is Christians from all different denominations and churches right in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti. I mean, God is really ready to do something as we, if we will stop speaking negatively about other parts of the body. Now, I do want to say this, and I just feel like I need to bring some clarity. You guys know me, so I don't even have to make this clarification, but just to be absolutely clear. Like, one of the phrases that I joke about with our staff team is this. And this is a leadership principle. This really applies in the military. You can be wrong, but you've got to be clear, right? You can be wrong, but you've got to be clear. When you give a statement or a command, you got to be clear, right? Because there's nothing that will frustrate people in your core groups under you if you're unclear, right? You ever been under leaders that are unclear and this ambiguous? What do you want me to do? You love that? Feels good, doesn't it? No, it feels terrible. So you can be wrong, but you've got to be clear. And so I want to be clear, and this won't surprise anybody, but I'm going to say it. I am not saying that H2O is going to suddenly become New Age and we're going to just celebrate. We all really believe the same thing, and it doesn't matter what our theology is, and let's just sing Kumbaya, hold hands, and light a candle. Woo, and have Oprah Winfrey come and join it. Okay, that's not what I'm saying, okay? And you guys know me. You know my theological perspective. So I'm not saying that we put down theological differences and pretend that we all really believe the same thing, because that's just, who wants that? We're not going to find the truth by doing that. But what I am saying is that there are campus ministries at U of M, there are churches that at least follow the Nicene Creed. We can at least use that as a basis, a stepping point, right? The Blessed Holy Trinity, the divinity of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his crucifixion, his burial. He was raised from the dead. He conquered sin. He conquered hell. There are other churches that follow that. We can join with them, and we can work for unity on this campus, right? So we're not going to, like, dumb down theology. We're not going to pretend it doesn't exist, but we're going to find some churches that we can work with, and we're going to see a move of God. And for you graduates, this is the biggest advice I can give you to be spiritually vital and growing in 5 years from now. Because Tammy and I have seen in 30 years, we've had so many alumni. We've seen a lot of graduates. Some of them are doing very, very well. Some of them are struggling spiritually, and others have completely left the faith and turned away from Christ. And that's heartbreaking. I see it. I know we all see that. There is a direct correlation between a person's involvement in a good local church and if they stay in the faith versus those that never connect with the church. So if you, when you leave here, if you will find a church that is not wookie and strange, but I mean a grounded in historical Orthodox Christianity, willing to work with the whole body of Christ in the city, there is a high probability you will serve Jesus Christ in 10 years when I see you. But honestly, maybe Tammy could correct me, and if you can think of somebody, let me know, but I'm hard-pressed to think of any of my alumni that are really passionately serving Christ that left the church and were like, I'm just going to be me and Jesus. I don't need the church. It happens. Very rare. It does happen, for sure. But it is so rare. And so, graduates, I want to encourage you to find a body and serve and to honor them. Come alongside the pastor's vision and really stand with them and work for unity in that city where God leads you. Speaking of graduates, we want to pray for you. And we want to bless all of our graduates. We got a lot of you guys, too. And I don't want to forget anybody. So I'm going to have you stand up. Yeah, we're going to embarrass you. Mean Green, that's you. Anybody else? Who's graduating? Let's have them all stand up. Oh, stand up. There we go. All right. We're not done. We're going to really embarrass you. Come on, right to the front. Wow. Hey, come on over there. All right. Man, this is the hardest part of campus ministry, isn't it? It's like every year. But every once in a while they come back and then Tammy will kiss them. Like Kimmy. Yeah, it's always sad, you know, to say goodbye, but bigger and better things. I know God has a great call on your life, and I know he has amazing things planned for you. Man, we're going to miss you. I'm going to miss dunking on you. Man, when you play basketball, you don't want him to guard you. I mean, I could feel him on me. I mean, he was right on me. He was everywhere with me, weren't you? Oh, man. Oh, man, all of you. Boy, we love you, and we're super proud of you guys, and the least we can do is to send you out with prayer. And so I thought we could, as a church, can we just pray in faith, you guys? Will you do that with me? Let's believe God for, can we stand together? Let's pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall on them. Let's believe God. Every one of you are going to be serving Christ your whole life. We'll see you in eternity as well. I mean, we're going to see you before then. I don't want to get too melodramatic here. That was weird. But I mean, you are going to serve Christ, and we will be together in heaven one day with all of you. And we're going to pray for the power of God to come on you. So let's pray. Just pray in the Spirit if you do or whatever. Just pray under your breath. Oh, Father God, we lift up all of these wonderful graduates. We pray for the power of God to fall upon them even now. Lord, you have a destiny for them and a calling. We are believing you for great things, for great things. Lord, let your Holy Spirit guide them and direct them. Let your Spirit lead them every step of the way. Father, we are trusting you that no weapon that is formed against them will prosper. That there is nothing the enemy has designed that will be able to stop the will of God in their life. God, we are trusting you that they are going to find an awesome church, a godly family of believers that are going to pour into them, and they will pour into that church as well. And that, Lord, we're going to hear stories of how you have used them and how you've blessed them. Father, we thank you for them. And God, we thank you for the memories. We thank you for the moments we've shared, and we thank you and we cherish those moments. And God, we want to send them out in the power of the Holy Spirit, because there's nothing greater that we can imagine they need than the power of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, pour it out in their life even now. We commit them to you. And we bless them in that name, above every name, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So now, last thing we're going to do is we want to make them feel how special they really are by giving them a loud round of applause. And let's just bless them. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, we love you guys. Let's give them some high fives, some hugs, and let's let them know how much we love them. God bless you guys. Hey, you're officially dismissed, but...